Just so you know what's going on. The recorder has been started. Let's see where my Kindle goes to. A table of contents of another book, A Course in Miracles. So you guys remember where we are?
Yeah.
Where are we?
Chapter 3.
Are we doing this?
Yeah, we are. Can somebody tell her what page?
446.
Page 446. So since we've been going for a while, we're near the back. Yeah, we're near the back. So we're in NTI 1 John chapter 3, page 446. So here we go. The awareness of God is an awareness that is pure and looks only on that which is wholly true. This awareness is within you. It is the core of what you are. It is in operation as God now. However, you are not aware of your God awareness because you have allowed that which is false to be held in your mind as true. So even though we were here 2 weeks ago, I kind of remember, barely, because my mind doesn't remember much anymore, but I remember the words love and life. And so I think that what we were doing was focusing on love and life as the only two things that are true. And if we see anything other than love or life, that's not true. So I can look at Francine and I can see love and life. Or I can look at Francine and I can see this little bitty lady who sometimes has health problems, maybe a lot of the times has health problems, has food allergies, is very careful about what she eats, is married to this guy like Mike, and then I can tell you all about Mike. And her daughter is Danielle. I can definitely tell you all about Danielle because Danielle lives with me. And she has a dog named Shiloh. See how far it went from love and life? All of that is not true. That's what this is telling us. If I look and see love and life, then I'm looking at truth. When I go into all of that other stuff, I've left truth. And you can see then how often we leave truth. Right? We leave truth quite a bit. But this God awareness that only sees love and life is in us. And so what we can do is we can contemplate that. We were talking just before we turned the recorder on, we were talking about being in situations where for some reason maybe we don't want to participate. Maybe there's gossip going on or political debate between friends or something and we just don't want to participate. And we were talking about how you can use that opportunity to practice just being. You can also use that opportunity to contemplate love and light. So instead of listening to the conversation and saying, oh, I wish they wouldn't talk about those things and, you know, I don't feel like I belong here and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Instead of all of that, just look at the life. The life, that's the light. The life is, look at the life animating the body. You know, notice your own love. Your own love is your own allowance of whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing, your own non-judgmental allowance. Look at the life, which is the light, and look at your allowance, and just sit and contemplate love and life. And the more we contemplate love and life, the more we're going to uncover the God awareness that is in us, which we have repressed by focusing on all that other stuff that isn't true. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, starting with sentence 6. This is what is meant by purify yourself. You must make the decision to release all that is not true from the mind, because that which is not true is false, and so it is an obstacle to the total awareness of truth. So what this is really recommending then is that we do what we just discussed. Practice letting go of all of those ideas about who Francine is, who Mike is, who Danielle is, who Shiloh is, and contemplate love and life. And see just love and life. Think love and life whenever, no matter who you're with, think love and life. And you will begin to purify yourself. You'll see some idea coming up. Oh, I know how he's going to react to this. See that idea? Let go of that idea and look at the life. Because you know what? Even if he does react in the way you always thought he was going to react, the life is still there. And the love is your own allowance of that, right? His reacting for the 99th time in exactly the way you thought he would does not change the love and life. So the question is, what is your attention on? What are you contemplating, right? And if you decide to contemplate only love and life, no matter what's occurring, then you're going to purify, because you're going to have to let go of every idea that is not love and life. And so you're going to be letting go of ideas. I mean, they're still going to come up, but then you just, not love and life, not interested. Not love and life, not interested. And you stay with the love and life, and you will purify. Verses 4 to 6. Sin is a false idea. Sin is false because the idea it supports is also false. And that is the idea that you are separate from one another and from God. There is no greater falsity than this, for there has never been a moment in which separation existed. Separation as a fact is impossible, because it goes against the very nature of what you are. It goes against the nature of what life is. And so separation cannot be. So the idea of sin comes from a story. And the story is this. There is a God, and although we know this God is not flesh and bone, somehow this God is a person. By person, we mean he has a will. He has judgments. You can be in alignment with his will, then you are good. Or you can be out of alignment with his will, and that is sin. So in order for there to be sin, there has to be a God person. Even though it's a spirit person, it's still going to be a person there, right? A God person. This is saying that's not what God is. God is just life. Isness itself. There's no person there. There's no thinking will, thinking judgment, you know, looking and deciding this is good, this is bad. The whole idea of a person God is untrue. It has no basis whatsoever. It's just life. Life is God. Life itself. Life itself, a piece of grass is life. So look at a piece of grass and say, there is God. Can a piece of grass define a sin? Can a piece of grass define a saint? And God does not define any more than a piece of grass, because the life that a piece of grass is synonymous with what God is, right? Life doesn't even have the ability to judge. It's impossible for there to be sin, because there is no God person to create the idea of sin. In addition to that, it's impossible for you to be separate from God, because God is life and you live. If you were separate from God, you wouldn't be here. You couldn't hear these words. You couldn't even have a wrong mind. You couldn't even go deep, deep, deep into the ego without life, right? You need life first. Life is the foundation. Life is the basis. Life is the essence of what you are. Life is God. You can't be separate from God. You see? So verses 7 to 10. Dear child, do not be led astray by your own confusion. There is no sin in the world, because there is no separation. The world that you see comes from the thoughts that you think. The thoughts that you think seem to be more than the thoughts that you perceive as in your mind alone. That is because you are not your mind alone. There is no one mind alone separate from other minds that are also alone. This is illusion. The belief in separation is the false thought that can never be true. So this is a very interesting sentence, and I'm glad that I'm the scribe because I understand the sentence. Some of these sentences, I often wonder when Regina's dead and gone, if people are still reading this book, what the heck they're going to say it means, you know, because they weren't there.
Well, that's what makes me wonder of others that teach NTIs. How can they be teaching it?
Yeah. They don't know. But this sentence, I know, even though the sentence is, you know, to me, the sentence is a little awkward, I know what it meant. It says, the thoughts that you think seem to be more than the thoughts that you perceive as in your mind alone. So what this is talking about is when we're reading NTI or when we read A Course in Miracles or anything else, and it says you, we think this body, this person. We think you means me. But that's not what you means. You would be all of us together. So let's say that I have a conversation with Dan and I find out that Dan is thinking some horrifying thought that has never occurred to me. Oh my God, I would never think that, right? Well, this is saying no. Dan's thought is also in your mind. Because by your mind, I don't mean this head of Regina. You know, so when I talk about your thoughts, I mean all of the thoughts in the world. That's what I'm talking about. And I want to be very clear about that here. When I'm talking to Francine, I'm not just talking about Francine's thoughts. I'm talking about the thoughts of everyone in the world, even when I'm talking to Francine. When I say you, I mean everyone. Because to me, that's what you are. Right? I don't see you as this individual. So again, the world that you see comes from the thoughts that you think. So that doesn't necessarily mean that the world that Francine sees comes from the thoughts that Francine thinks. Now, it's true that we each have individual thoughts that color the world a little bit. Like Francine and I could look at Dan, and if we wanted to talk bad about him, which, by the way, Dan, we never have. But if we wanted to talk bad about him, I could pick on one thing that she thought was fine, and she could pick on something else about him that I thought was fine, right? We don't have to see Dan in the same way. But this is referring to something bigger than that. This is saying that the entire world, exactly as it is today, comes from your thoughts, but you is not you the individual, right? In fact, you the individual are a part of what is made by your thoughts. So this is referring to you as a divine mind or as consciousness, the you that we are all a part of. So sometimes I call it we or us, right? So this is saying that the world that we experience comes from our perspective, collective thoughts. So though really there is no collective, but from our perspective it would be the collective thoughts, right? So the world that you see comes from the thoughts that you think. The thoughts that you think seem to be more than the thoughts that you perceive as in your mind alone. That is because you are not your mind alone. There is no one mind alone separate from other minds that are also alone. This is illusion. The belief in separation is the false thought that can never be true. False thoughts are all thoughts that are based on the idea of separateness. False thoughts include, but are not limited to, thoughts of guilt, attack, fear, hatred, and regret. All of these thoughts imply that there is a mind that is separate from yours with separate will and desire. All of these thoughts imply a conflict now, in the future, or in the past. All of these thoughts are mistaken because none of these thoughts are based on truth. So again, we're being asked to let go of all thoughts, false thoughts, and really only hold on to the true thoughts, which we've called love and light, or we could say love and life. But this is helping us to tune in and notice the types of thoughts that are false thoughts, because we tend to think them without stopping to notice that they're false. So let's take guilt for an example. Let's imagine that I'm distracted. By distracted, I mean distracted from my truth. Maybe I'm a little hungry and I'm having a hot flash, right? And so I'm focused on my body and, Myrna says something. And I snap at her, right? Because I was distracted. I snap at Myrna, right? Well, the next temptation may then to be guilty. I mean, here I am. I'm supposed to be the spiritual teacher here. I'm supposed to be setting the example here. This is Myrna's first time here, and I snapped at her, right? I mean, so the temptation may to be guilty. This is saying that any thought of guilt is a false thought, and the reason it's a false thought is in that story there was a me, and that me was a spiritual teacher who was supposed to behave a certain way, and there was Myrna, who was different than me, and all of that is not true, therefore the guilt cannot be true. In fact, if you really get into truth teachings, what you'll find is, even though I was distracted, and if I had been distracted, if I had not been distracted, the snapping may not have happened, right? But I was distracted and the snapping did happen. The snapping is a part of the world which comes from our combined thought, your thought. Only you does not mean the little you here. That story of a Regina snapping at a Myrna cannot happen without the one writer writing that possibility into the script. And we're the one writer. There can't be guilt because there's not a Regina and a Myrna. There's one writer writing one script, and that was one of the possibilities written to the script that happens. It's just a playing out of a script. Now, there was another possibility in the script. It could have gone a different way, and in fact, there are probably multiple possibilities in the script. But we can never act as people outside of the script. And we are the one writer of the script. There's not a you and a me, so there can never be guilt. That's what this is saying. And this is very difficult for people to grasp because the thinking mind can't understand it. At some point, though, your heart does just naturally understand it. And when your heart naturally understands it, you kind of react in this way. Again, I'm distracted. Am I hungry and having a hot flash? Myrna says something. I snap at her. Ah, I see what happened. I return immediately to my right mind. And you see, that's awareness instead of guilt. Right? And so there's always another way to look at everything. But if I believe guilt, then I'm believing a false thought. If Myrna then believes, I can't believe that, Regina, she attacked me. Attack is a false thought. Myrna's wrong too. Because in order for Regina to attack me, there has to be a Regina, there has to be a me. And again, there isn't a Regina and a me. There is one writer writing a potentiality into a script. And, we could go through every one of these, but I'm not going to. But if you go through guilt, attack, fear, hatred, and regret, and again, these are just examples, you'll see you can't have any of these without a me and a someone else, or me and at least a something else, right? Even regret. You can't have regret without separation. So these are the types of thoughts that Holy Spirit is asking us to start to realize are not true. And when these thoughts show up, to begin to let them go and return our mind to love and light, or love and life, right? Don't allow our mind to think these false thoughts. Now, sentence 6 is kind of saying what I just said. All that is true is oneness and the activity of oneness, which is love. I'm going to stop there and then I'll continue. So if I did snap at Myrna, it's describing that as love. The reason it's love is because it's the activity of oneness, not separation. Oneness wrote the script and oneness allowed the script to play out. It's love. In oneness, there can be only love, right? That's all that there can be. So even the appearance of me snapping at someone, although it's not what a human would define as love, it is love because it's the activity of oneness. It's oneness writing a story, and then oneness letting its story play out. It's love. So all that is true is oneness and the activity of oneness, which is love. Love is the only fact because oneness is all that is true. You need not worry that you do not love your brother in truth because love is all that you are capable of. You only need ask, am I aware of my love? If you are not, you are still believing that which is false. So, well, interestingly, last night I watched a documentary about Malcolm X. And I remember kind of Malcolm X when I was much younger. And what I remember, the way I remember it from being young, I must have been in elementary school. I don't know how young I was. But what I remember is that it was like Martin Luther King was the good guy and Malcolm X was the bad guy. That's right. That's the kind of the way it was taught to me. And both trying to achieve, well, not even really similar goals. They both wanted the black people to be elevated, but even the way they wanted that to happen was entirely different. Malcolm X wanted separation and Martin Luther King wanted integration, right? So they were very different. But last night I watched Malcolm X, and you know, Malcolm X was still Malcolm X in the documentary. But what I noticed last night was how much I loved him. You know, like I just loved him. I saw where he was making some mistakes, you know, but I just loved him. The mistakes did not matter at all. And so what this is saying is that if you're aware of your love, you know, like if you're aware of your love of Malcolm X, or you're aware of your love of Jihadi John, I think they're calling him, right? But then that's wonderful. You know, you're in a good space. But if you think that you dislike Malcolm X or some other character, or you think that you dislike Jihadi John, you are misperceiving. Because even your antagonism, is that a good word? Your antagonism for these characters could not be, if it was not written as a potentiality in the script, which means even your antagonism, your dislike of them, is still love. Right? Can you follow that?
A little bit.
A little bit. Love is all that you're capable of. So back when I thought Malcolm X was the bad guy, that was still love. You know, the whole, all of the people, I'm sure there were many people, mostly white, but probably a few black that really disagreed with him too, because he was so different than Martin Luther King, and they were Martin Luther King followers, right? In fact, I think it was black people that killed him. It wasn't white people that killed him, it was black people that killed him. Muslims, even, because he had different Muslim views than other Muslims.
He changed at the end. That's
yeah,
why.
He did change at the end. He went to Mecca and he started to wake up, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he started to wake up.
Yeah, he was very much not
yes.
The opposite end.
Yeah, he was starting to wake up. So whether you think that you hate Malcolm X, you have to kill Malcolm X because he is so wrong in your point of view, or whether you think that you love Malcolm X, you love him. That's what this is saying. Not that you love him, really. I mean, that's a symbol. You are love. And you cannot act outside of love. So if you're believing the wrong mind and you're acting from the wrong mind, and that shows up as you hating Malcolm X, that's still a potentiality that was written in the script. Therefore, it is still love. But there's a big however here. The big however is you're going to suffer if you aren't aware of your love. And you're not aware of your love when you believe it's hate. Or you're not aware of your love when you believe it's fear. So when you are believing the script, again, you couldn't be the character that you are. You couldn't be acting the way you are if it wasn't in the script. Therefore, it's still love. But when you're believing the script, you're unaware of yourself as love, and you're going to suffer. Again, there is no sin. You can't be outside the script. There's only oneness. There's only love. But there is the possibility for happiness or suffering. And the only way you're going to be happy is to know yourself as love. So that means even though there's no sin in the wrong mind, there's still a good reason for letting go of the wrong mind. Because as far as I know, nobody likes to suffer. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm going to start again with sentence 6 and then read forward. All that is true is oneness and the activity of oneness, which is love. Love is the only fact because oneness is all that is true. You need not worry that you do not love your brother in truth, because love is all that you are capable of. You only need ask, am I aware of my love? If not, you are still believing that which is false. The thinking mind cannot know love, because the thinking mind thinks apart from love. This is a statement of concept, not truth, because in truth, nothing is apart from love. So I'll explain what that means before I continue. Again, everything is written by the one divine scriptwriter. You know, so everything is love. So that means even your wrong mind is coming from love. It's written into the script as one of the potentialities. So in reality, even your wrong mind is not separate from love. However, you can imagine that that's not going to be a helpful thought for most people, to say even your wrong mind is not separate from love. It is helpful if you're trying to let go of judgment, but it's not helpful if it doesn't encourage change, because you're going to stay stuck in the wrong mind and you're going to stay stuck in suffering. So, as a concept, we say that your thinking mind is separate from love, and we ask you to act with the right mind, which is love. But that's not really true, because nothing is separate from love. Does this make sense? Right?
It's all contradiction.
It's all
everything contradicts one another, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dualism.
Yeah, and that's why the truth you can't express in words either, which is why...
No, you cannot.
You know,
it's
you're
a circle.
Using,
it is.
It's a circle. That's a good way of putting it.
Paradox.
Yeah, very good way of putting it. So you have to listen between all of these circular words, and then you get it.
After between the words.
That's right, between the words. So the thinking mind cannot know love, because the thinking mind thinks apart from love. This is a statement of concept, not truth, because in truth nothing is apart from love. But this is a concept that is helpful, because it points toward truth, and the thinking from the thinking mind does not. So we want to disengage from believing our thinking, because our thinking is believing the script. Instead, we want to engage with the heart and again contemplate life and love, right? Rather than believing whatever's going on at the head level. Starting with sentence 4. The thinking mind is confusion, because it is based on the belief in separation. It defines love as something one does to or for another. But whenever a thought of one and another is involved, the thought and knowledge of love is lost. For love is based on oneness, and anything that is not based on oneness is confusion that has forgotten the unbreakable law of love. So again, we define love as, oh, he did this sweet thing for her. He, you know, got her this card and took her out to dinner, and it wasn't their anniversary or anything. You know, he's just so loving, right? But this is saying if there's a he and a she, that's not what we mean by love. Love is synonymous with the word oneness. You know, so again, we think love looks like him buying her a card and taking her out to dinner. It wasn't their anniversary or anything. And, you know, yelling at Priscilla is not love. But this is saying both are love if you look at it and realize there's not a Regina, a Priscilla, or a him. This is all oneness. These are all potentialities in the script, and this is just what's happening right now. If you can look at it from that level, then it's love. But the mind, the thinking mind, is never going to take you to that level. The thinking mind is always going to see a Regina and a Priscilla and a him. You know, the thinking mind, that's just the level it's at. So you can't use the thinking mind to see love. You have to disengage from the thinking mind and learn to, some people call it see through the heart, right? But you have to learn to, I'll tell you how I see it. You have to learn to not think, just be. You see, in just being, everything is as it is, and it's love, no matter what it looks like. In thinking, defining starts happening, and then it is no longer love. So if you can learn to just be the presence of beingness, then love is natural. And it doesn't matter whether the people in front of you are having an argument or not, you won't have an experience other than love, because you aren't defining, you aren't saying they shouldn't be arguing, you aren't saying there's a him and a her arguing. See, that all comes from thinking. Starting with 21 to 24, we obey God's commands and do what pleases him because it is the nature of our existence. This is fact, this is love, this is what we are and what we do. And there has never been a moment when this wasn't true. Now again, the idea of God and him is being used when there is no person God. We already discussed that. This is just a symbol. But what this is really saying, and we learned this back in Ephesians, there's a law of love, which is the process of creation, which can best be described as everything interacts to make everything, right? All of the energies of your mind, which is our mind, all of the thoughts in your mind, which is our mind, makes everything. But because it's coming from a oneness, no matter what it looks like, you could call it in agreement. It's not really an agreement, though, because there's no two to agree. But because it's all happening through the interaction of oneness, it is love. And because it is all happening through the interaction of oneness, there is nothing happening that shouldn't be happening. It's perfect as well. It's love, and it's perfect, right? But again, there's still a better way. There's still a better way. And the better way is to be aware of the love, right? And you do that by disengaging from the thinking and moving into the just being. But we're always obeying God's commands. Again, there's not a literal God. It just means we're always acting from the oneness, from the energy of our thoughts. Again, I can't scream at you if the potentiality for me screaming at you is not provided in the script of this moment. So even in screaming at you, I'm in harmony with our wholeness and what it's making possible. It's impossible for me to be out of harmony with our oneness. However, number 5, the thinking mind cannot follow this thought because the thinking mind believes in separation, and so it cannot see love, which is not separation. One must surrender the thinking mind to know love, because one must surrender the thinking mind to know that which isn't separation. That which isn't separation is oneness and truth. And that which is oneness and truth is that which is also love. So I would say, if you guys are in agreement, our assignment for this week is whenever we notice that we're thinking and defining and judging, when we notice, try to just take that and put it aside and move into just being. Try to practice just being with whatever is instead of thinking about what is. And so what I'll do now is stop the recording, and then, Myrna, what we usually do is just take a little bit of silence, and then we share in whatever way we want to share. So we'll go into the silence. And again, I see a couple of you writing this down. So we're going to try to, whenever we notice we're thinking, defining, judging, try to just put that aside and just be with whatever is.